And I welcome to the program from ABC Grandstand and the host of Offsiders, Gerard Whateley. Gerard, and I welcome you with the wonderful news that England has been rolled for 99 in a one-day match against Sri Lanka.
It's perverse what gives us joy, Whateley.
Oh, there's nothing perverse about that. This is glorious. I think we should just talk about this for the rest of the program.
The misery of English cricket, that's a bit more like it rather than what we've lived through too recently.
Yeah, exactly. Normal service resumes, thank you very much. But I suppose we should go more local. And I tell you what, I think there's something in the air now, Gerard. I think it's building. Roy Masters has compared Queenslanders to the Kremlin.
Yeah.
Mel Meninga says New South Wales have a boozy culture. Paul Gallen says Queenslanders have two heads. I think it's Origin Week.
It is. A special kind of fever descends upon the good folk of Queensland and New South Wales these weeks. So, quick declaration at the start, of course, I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm a Victorian. I love top-level sport, and I particularly love grudge fixtures. But I wonder, to the neutral observer, I actually wonder for even some of the most passionate observers whether, until New South Wales actually looks capable of winning, whether this is not just diminished and we go through the theatrics of it because we're obliged to go through the theatrics.
Well,
of it.
A bit like the Ashes, maybe.
Maybe. But with this series loaded for Queensland with two home matches, it seems to me there's an awful lot of theorising going on around New South Wales, or if this happens, if that happens, and if the risk on the mystery halves comes good and that. Well, for Queensland, there's a, well, they'll win, and it sort of ends there. So the first game's critical. If New South Wales could cause the upset in the first one, then, you know, the rabbits are racing at that stage. It's on.
James,
Queensland pummels them, then I suspect the rest of us will go, well, of course that's what happened.
Yeah, yeah, I suspect that that's right. James sends a tweet that says, can New South Wales count to eight? They're about to learn. And I suspect, this is the thing, I think actually it still matters in Queensland. Because and this is the point Roy Masters was making in his typically cheeky way today, and that is that Queensland has a point to prove to New South Wales and has for 100 years.
And it will continue for the next 100 years.
Yeah. And so, you know, I guess, and they want to get to 11, isn't that the theory, to eclipse St George's premiership record, even though the two achievements would not be remotely comparable?
No, but it's a magical number in rugby league.
Can you see a case for New South Wales?
Oh, I can't, but let's see it happen, I suppose. That's why I say it's just theories, and in a way it's theories and nonsense until it's actually happened.
So if you were coaching Queensland then, would you take a risk? Would you start, all right, let's chuck Inglis at fullback. Let's move. I suppose you move Billy Slater into the centres or something like that.
No,
let's maybe play Daly Cherry and Evans at number seven.
No, I wouldn't Lairise. I would make New South Wales do the crazy things. I would make them take risks. And if it works, so be it. But it's more likely going to sort of weaken the best case. So, and that's why the dominant team usually just plays line and length until it doesn't work anymore. Mm. And usually when it doesn't work, it's sort of everyone looks in and goes, well, it's because they just played line and length. That was complacency. That was that sense of superiority. So Queensland could potentially bring themselves undone on that front. But, I mean, make the case to me that New South Wales could potentially be a better team than Queensland. And I haven't heard anyone seriously and factually make that case.
No, and I think in the short term it can't be made. But there is this thing that hangs over Queensland and has for the last few years, which is this whole Dad's Army theory, that it's effectively the same team that's been winning all of these Origin series. And with a team that is ageing like that, there just comes a point where you just fall off the cliff and you often don't see it coming.
Yep, and the change is only ever recognised in hindsight. So it doesn't look like we're at that moment. Because we see these players each week, is you would have to make the case that Cameron Smith has tipped over the edge and Billy Slater's tipped over the edge. And you'd actually have, and there's no evidence of that. So maybe completely out of the blue it could happen in Origin, but wouldn't you see that first at club level?
Well, arguably with Slater you have.
Yeah, well, I can't see that, but there are better minds than mine working on these things.
Yeah, tipped over the edge is probably a bit strong, but certainly there is an argument that Inglis has gone past him. But Roy Masters certainly shares that view. Anyway, just with the NRL, before we leave rugby league, Steve Price has been sacked by the Dragons, which it took me a little bit by surprise, but I guess they've lost six of the last seven. He struggled. He hasn't really got them to the finals over the past few years. The big question now is, with everything that's happened at Newcastle, is Wayne Bennett on his way to St George?
Well, that's the inevitable question, isn't it? So the difficulty for Bennett in all of this is he's got a contract directly with the company that's just relinquished the power of Newcastle. So I don't think there's any doubt he'll see out the year, but he's not bound by a contract next year anymore. And there's no guarantees that he would get paid to the level of that previous contract either.
Is there a guarantee he'll get paid now for the rest of the year?
I don't know the answer to that. But you would think that, you know, football being football, you would think that would find a way to sort itself out. But no, I don't think there's any guarantees in it. It's very rare in Australian sport that coaches go back. It happens all the time in European football. Coaches will do a second or third stint to club along the way. It's extremely rare in Australian sport, I think. It'd be fascinating to know what Bennett's private thoughts on a return to the Dragons would be.
I think anyone, if anyone can break the mold, Wayne Bennett can. He's entitled to do whatever the hell he wants, really.
Of course he is.
He's that kind of coach. In the other major football code, the AFL, how did Gary Ablett get off from the tribunal? I'm mystified by this.
He got off because the video evidence was inconclusive, and then they conducted an investigation. So what they did was they rang William Pickham, who was the player who had the elbow thrown back into him, and they asked him where was contact, and he said to the chest, not to the head. And once he said that, and the match review panel didn't have any compelling evidence to dispute that, they accepted it. And with a with that sort of blow to the chest, that's below what would constitute a report. I think we all agree with that. It's just whether it was to the head or not. There are only two camera angles, which did have a few people posing the question, in this day and age, did the other 10 camera angles go missing? but there were only two. So the day, everyone spent the day on tenterhooks, because what's at stake here is there's an acceptance that Gary Ablett is going to win his third Brownlow medal this year, and the only thing that can stop that is a suspension, which would make him ineligible. It would also ruin the night, because he would probably win the count by 10 or 12 votes, and he wouldn't be eligible for it. So that was the real source of fascination in the day, and you know, conspiracy theorists all over the place, that they would find a way to get Ablett off. Well, as far as I can tell, in due process, there was actually nothing to convict him in the other direction.
Yeah, I know, but once you start asking the player what happened, you're always going to get that answer, aren't you?
Of course you are, and this was why the whole system was built around no longer taking evidence from the victim. But once you don't have the compelling video evidence to make your judgments on, then that's the due process. So I have no doubt that due process has been followed and that they couldn't have come to the other conclusion. And in such a, it would have been a hugely controversial outcome if they couldn't actually stack it up. That's where the whole system collapses, I think.
Now, I promise you, this was not my idea. The producer wants me to raise this with you.
Mm-hmm.
18 years since a Richmond player has single-handedly outscored the opposition, apparently. and it was this man here.
For 11 straight, and for the Tigers, 21st before three-quarter time, and for a 104-point lead, in comes Riewoldt. The goal umpire doesn't move. Jack's got 11.
Even the commentator sounds a bit bored, really.
That was hilarious, really, given all the travails of Jack Riewoldt, who managed to get himself in trouble with the club and particularly the coach. He got himself to the brink of being dropped. He was allowed to play, and he came out and played like a man who was in debt to his teammates and his coach and kicked 11 goals. And from the very first moments of the match, you could tell that this was on. And while it was a dreadful afternoon for GWS, it was in the soap opera that is Jack Riewoldt, you would have to agree that he is a one-man soap opera in football. It was just about the perfect end to a rather hilarious week.
He's the only man who could actually inherit Richo's mantle.
That is so true.
And can I just, I'll leave you with this thought, Jared. As a fan, Jack Riewoldt's comments that got him in trouble, it was the first time all year I've heard someone actually give an intelligent analysis of what's gone wrong.
It was a breach of privilege, though.
Possibly, yes. But I'm just telling you how a fan responds. Anyway, we'll speak next week. Jared Whateley speaking to us there. News Time Now 7.